Good morning, girls and boys. We're turning to our chapter that we have been studying now for quite some time. This is the 25th time we have looked at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and it's verse 30 we're looking at. Verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about, walked around 7 days. We're getting near the end of our study. Let's look at this verse 30 today. There's a big gap between verse 29 and verse 30. You say, I don't see any gap. Well, there is. In verse 29, we read of them passing through the Red Sea. They're just getting out of Egypt and starting the journey through the wilderness up to the Promised Land. But you remember that shortly after they left Egypt, they arrived at the border of the Promised Land. Spies were sent in to have a look at it, and when they came back, 10 of the 12 spies were filled with unbelief, and they said, basically, we could never go in there. The Canaanites are too strong for us. We'd never get the victory. Which, of course, meant that they were saying, God can't give us what he promised. That was unbelief. Two of them, Joshua and Caleb, took a very different view. They said, God is able to give us this land. Don't be worrying and being filled with fear. Let's go in. And the people took up stones and were ready to stone them. Such was their unbelief. Well, as a consequence of that sinful attitude, God said, you're going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years until every last one of this generation have died. And only the children born to this generation, plus Joshua and Caleb, who were faithful to God, will enter the Promised Land. So there's a gap of 40 years between verse 29 and verse 30. And the Lord takes up the story here. And since it's a story of faith, this chapter 11 with Hebrews, we find the Lord moving from their act of faith in following him through the Red Sea to 40 years later, the generation of Israel is restored to faith, and they're ready to believe God and enter the Promised Land. And in verse 30, they're in the land. They've crossed the Jordan, and they have come up against the first of the enemies, the first of the Canaanites, those that live in the great city of Jericho. Wasn't that far away from Jordan? So here's the first challenge. And it says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about, or surrounded, by Israel, about 7 days. Israel marched round, as God commanded, for 7 days. Once every day, and then on the seventh day, 7 times. Now, the walls of Jericho were very, very powerful walls. They weren't just like a wee garden wall. No, they were massively high, and massively thick. In fact, my arms don't stretch far enough to show you how thick they were. Some ancient fortifications back then were wide enough for a chariot to be driven down the top of the wall. So these walls were most formidable, strong, and great. But by faith, the walls fell down. Well, we're going to look at this subject, this first victory in the Promised Land. And I want to show you, first of all, that they showed their faith in God by obeying God's commands. That's how you know this new generation of Israelites believed God. For he told them what they had to do. If you turn back, you older ones, to Joshua chapter 6. For there we have the account of the battle and the victory. Joshua chapter 6, and we read verses 3, 4, and 5. Please. And ye shall compass the city, that means go round it, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. Just note that. So Israel camped away over there somewhere, once a day. All the men of war, and there would have been hundreds of thousands of men. So this was a mighty parade, the like of which has never been seen in modern times. Oh, there's been big parades. Russia loves putting on big parades, and America puts on big parades. But they don't put on as many men as would have paraded that day. Probably over 600,000 men. That's a lot of men. all armed, ready for the battle, young and strong. So, once a day, these soldiers all came up, lined out nicely, and marched round the city. But it wasn't just the soldiers. Seven priests shall bear before the ark seven trumpets of ram's horns, and thus that's how the parade was started. Seven priests with seven trumpets were accompanied the Ark of the Covenant. This was God's way. This was God's way. And furthermore, it says the priest shall blow with the trumpet, and it shall come to pass when they shall make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. That was the last day. Went round the city seven times, on the seventh day. And then the priest blew the ram's horn a long blast. And when the people heard that, they gave a great shout. You can imagine what 600,000 men shouting would sound like. Well, we can hardly imagine it. It was a mighty shout. And the wall of the city shall fall down flat. This victory was going to be given them by God. There wasn't a man with a sledgehammer there, or a pickaxe, or a crowbar that had to attack the wall. No, God did it. And there was the city lying open. And of course, the soldiers went in to the city and took it. That's how God gave them the victory. And I want to suggest to you that the Israelites exercised great faith in obeying these commands given them of God. Because the command seems strange. This was a strange way to fight a battle. Go out once a day, march round the city, and go home again, back to camp. And out the next day and do the same. And the next day, and the next day, and the next, for 6 days. Now you had to believe God in order to act in this strange fashion. And boys and girls, let me tell you something. In the eyes of men, the gospel is a strange thing. So strange they can hardly believe it. When you talk to someone about salvation, they may well ask you the question, well, how do you get saved? And you tell them, well, you just put your faith in the Lord Jesus and what he did at the cross of Calvary when he died for sinners. That's how you get saved. And they say, that's most peculiar. I can't understand that. Surely you have to do something. You must work somehow or other to get saved. No, you just obey God's call in the gospel and trust in the Lord Jesus. And the world finds that very strange. They laugh at it indeed. They laugh at it. And this command given to Israel was a strange command. But they said, what God says is right. What God says we can depend upon, so we're doing what he says. That was faith. It was somewhat a strange way to act, and yet Israel did it. And they did it despite the fact that what God required of them seemed strange. They did it despite the jeering of the enemy. Do you think all the people of Jericho, the soldiers of Jericho, standing on the walls watching this, maybe the first day they would have watched it in silence, puzzled. What are they doing? Watch now in case they charge at it. Watch. No, they're away back again to the camp. Ha! They must have seen that they can't take this city. We're safe. Didn't worry about them. They've come out, had a look at us, and said, we'll go home, for we can't defeat those people. That's what they may well have thought as they watched Israel's actions. Then the next day, oh, here they come again! And round they went, and back home again. And they would have been all the more sure that Israel just didn't know how to attack the city and felt they couldn't defeat it, and they went home again. And the jeering would have started. I have no doubt about that. Doesn't say it in the Bible, but I think that it's proper for me to imagine, because in many other places in the Bible, you find the enemies of God's people jeering when they started to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem after they came back from captivity. The enemies jeered at them, jeered and mocked them. How can you ever rebuild the city? How can you ever build the temple? Poor wee hung Philip. And that same spirit would have been found amongst the people in Jericho, mocking, jeering. The day of Pentecost, what happened? They said, listen to these fools. They must be drunk. Jeering. The world has always jeered. Hope you don't jeer. I hope that's not what's in your heart. Bird of mockery. rather than a spirit of reverence and fear. But despite the jeering up there on the walls, and that would have been a bit difficult for soldiers to take, being taunted by these boys, mocked by these boys, that would have been, But the soldiers continued to do what God told them to do. That's faith. I believe God, and I'll do what he tells me, no matter how foolish it appears to men, and how men may mock me for doing it. I'm going to obey God. That's the faith a person needs to be a Christian. They obeyed God and did what he required of them, marching round the walls. And as they marched round the walls, you know, the soldiers would have seen how strong the walls were, how high they were, how thick they were. And the soldiers had time, walking round the walls repeatedly, to begin to think, maybe we can't defeat them. Maybe we can't get into this place. Maybe the walls are just too powerful. They had time to do that. They had time to ponder how great was the opposition they faced. But still, they believed God. God had said, you do what I tell you and the walls will come down. And on the seventh day they went out and they walked round it seven times. And they believed. Even as they obeyed God and did what he required of them, they believed God will somehow or other. We don't know how. We'll bring the walls down and we'll be able to attack those in the city. That's faith. There's a lot of things we don't know how will work out. Things that God has promised us. He says he'll take us to heaven if we trust in the Lord Jesus. We know so little about that. We know so little about how it will take place, but we believe God. And each one who believes God says, I will be in heaven. All the difficulties will disappear in God's time. That's what's pictured for us here. Israel showed faith by obeying God's apparently strange command. Then again, I want you to notice the strange instruments that God used to give victory to Israel. Three things. The ark, it was there. The trumpets, they were blown. And in the end, a shout from the people. And the shout from the people brought the walls down. What can we learn from these three things? Well, first and foremost, the ark of the covenant, which was a beautifully made gold-covered box. Not that big. Smaller than the piano. Inside was the law of God. On the top was the mercy seat, which was sprinkled with the blood of the Lamb, signifying the way of redemption. And there, God said he would meet his people and communicate with them through the high priest. The ark symbolized the presence of God. When they carried the ark with them, God was with them. That was the first thing. And boys and girls, if God is with you, the devil can't defeat you if God is with you. Now God is only with you if you are saved. If you have ceased to be a rebel against God, and like Adam was after he sinned, going away and hiding. Is anybody here hiding from God? Stopping their ears so that they don't hear God's call? Don't want to be saved? Don't want to obey? They turn their back on God? Is that how you are? You're not going to have the victory, for God is not with you. But if you, on the other hand, have obeyed the gospel, bowed before the Lord Jesus, confessed your sin, and made him yours, like blind Bartimaeus, do you remember? It says when the Lord gave him back his sight, he followed him in the way. He had been sitting there on the highway, side, the roadside, begging. Poor, blind beggar. But then the Lord changed all this. And he got up, and he began to follow the Lord, listening to him, looking upon him, obeying. Is that how it is with you today? Is it? Is that how it is with you today? Then the ram's horn, they were blown. All the soldiers would have heard the priests blowing these ram's horns. Now, the ram's horn, let me tell you, it's not like a trumpet where you go up and down the scales and play lovely tunes. You can't do that with a ram's horn. Nope. When you blow into a ram's horn, it just gives a loud blaring noise. Not considered very musical. But that's what the gospel is in the ears of the world. Just a blaring sound. When the people of God go out to conduct an open-air meeting, they're not out making that old noise again, are they? Because it's just like the sound of a ram's horn to the world. Oh, down the street there's a fellow there, and he's got a guitar, and he's got all sorts of amplifiers, and he's singing. Well, maybe that's saying too much when we say he's singing. He's making a noise. And the world says, isn't that lovely? And they're standing there throwing pound coins into his wee cap. Lovely. But the gospel meeting is blaring like a ram's horn as far as the world is concerned, but not to the Christian. How sweet the name of Jesus sound in a believer's ear. It's music. It's music to the Christian. And that ram's horn sound to the Israelite would have been precious and sweet, for it was the horn of victory. It was ordained of God in this instance to get them the victory. And they were pleased to hear it. And that's how we still get the victory over the world. The gospel is going to win in the end. The world, with its ways and its music and its sounds, it's not going to win. The gospel's going to win. That's the glorious thing, boys and girls. Make sure you're on the side of the gospel. Then there was a great shout. There was all the soldiers of Israel. And it says they gave a great shout. Now, what does that mean? What does it signify? Well, let me illustrate it. Every morning that I come here, I say to you, good morning, girls and boys, or good morning, boys and girls. I like to mix it up, change it around. Some of you are looking up and you say, good morning. You mightn't think I notice, but some of you look, good morning. Hearing God's words, not a good start for you. You wish it could be skipped. And unexciting as maths is, or English, or literature, or science, unexciting as these things may be, you prefer them to hearing God's. So the good morning is a sort of a miserable utterance. Ah, but Israel, they gave a joyous shout, because they were anticipating God's victory. Now that's how it is with the Christian. We may live joyously and declare our allegiance to the Lord joyfully, because the walls of the world's opposition, the devil's opposition, are going to fall down before the testimony that we bear. When they shouted, they were saying, we believe God! They were saying, you and Jericho are about to be defeated! That's what they were saying. Doesn't tell us exactly the words they shouted, but I have no doubt there were soldiers who said those sort of things. The enemies of righteousness in our country have a slogan, our day will come. That's what Sinn Féin's slogan is, our day will come. And they say it in Irish. Little do they know what they're saying. For their day will come. But what a day of judgment and wrath it will be. Whereas for the Christian, we can give a great shout and say, our day is coming. The day of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he will return and bring this evil world under his authority and power. And that's what the soldiers were shouting. Our day has come! We're about to defeat you, destroy you, wipe you out. The great shout. Those are the three things that are symbolized here, and which in our lives we may see. The presence of God with his people. Though I am with you always, he says. The ram's horn, the preaching of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation, and our bold and clear testimony before man, God is on the throne, and his will be the victor. That's the instrument then that God used in the bringing down Jericho. The final thing I want to say is this. I want you to notice the miraculous event that this was, this bringing down of the walls of Jericho. We are told, and I've read this out to you, where the Lord had promised them, Joshua chapter 6 verse 5, the wall of the city shall fall down flat. Fall down flat. Now, that might suggest something to you. If you fall down flat, you lie just down on the ground. If you think of a wall falling down flat, you think of the wall just falling down on the ground. But that's not what happened here. That's not what happened here. The word translated flat, the Hebrew word translated by the English word flat, appears in Genesis chapter 1 and the verse 7. Only there it is translated by the English word under. Think of that. Under. So we can say God said to Israel, when you give the great shout, the walls shall fall under. Fall down under. And then to further help us understand this word, the same Hebrew word, translated flat, translated under, appears in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and the verse 18, and there it is translated by the English word beneath. Put them all together. God says the walls are going to fall down flat, under and beneath the ground. They sunk down straight into the ground. The soldiers, we are told, were able to go straight up in. Let me give you a wee bit of history. In the Second World War, towards the end of it, the Allies had invaded Italy. And they were driving the Germans out of Italy, pushing them back towards Germany. The closing stages of the war. But in the battle in Italy, the Germans had occupied a high height, an old monastery, Monte Cassino. That's what it was called. Formidable place. Hard climb upward for the soldiers, the Allied soldiers fighting. Allied artillery fired thousands of shells. Bombers flew over and dropped thousands of bombs. And they blew that Monte Cassino to bits. But they didn't get rid of the Germans, because instead of the walls being there, the rubble was there. And they were able to fight from behind the rubble. But there was no rubble at Jericho. The walls didn't fall down in great heaps of rubble, big boulders and stones that the poor Israelite soldier would have had to climb over, and was very obvious a target as he was doing that to the archers that would have been there. But instead, the walls went straight down into the ground, just like a lift disappearing. And the top of the wall provided a nice pavement for the soldiers to enter the city. That's what happened. And as I have given you the explanation of the Hebrew word that's translated flat in support of this, let me give you another support, another proof that that's what happened. Where did the woman Rahab, you remember her? She had helped the spies sent out by Joshua to see how things are in the city of Jericho. How many soldiers are there? Have they much food stored up? And Rahab, we'll read about that in our next verse. She had heard all the reports of what God had done in the past, and she had come to faith. She believed in God. And when the spies came, she helped them. And she said, when you get the victory, and we know you're, I know and my family know, you're going to get the victory. But when that happens, remember us. Don't kill us along with all the others in Jericho. And the soldiers had said, all right, thank you for helping us. And for helping us, we give you this promise. You'll be spared. But here is a red or scarlet cord. Tie it and let it hang out the window so that we know your house when the time comes. So she lived in a house on the walls. Now what would have happened to her house if the walls had just collapsed? She would have been killed. But instead, like the lift I mentioned, the walls sunk into the ground and Rahab's house would have been down no longer a high rise flat or apartment. But now it was a bungalow on ground level, and she was safe. That must have been quite an experience. Looking out the window and see your house going down until you were at ground level, and it stopped. That's how I know the walls didn't collapse in a heap, but God lowered them down. Boys and girls, that's what God can do. Doesn't matter how unnatural it appears to man, or how impossible it appears to man, that's what God can. One day God's going to sink all the high walls that men have built against the gospel and against God. God's going to bring them all, and the way will be open for their defeat and their destruction. It says in verse 15 of Joshua chapter 2, that the spies said to Rahab, behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. That was verse 18 of Joshua chapter 2. And likely that cord they gave to her was the same cord that verse 15 tells us they had climbed down from Rahab's house right up there on the wall and escaped. The same cord. You see, boys and girls, that red cord, that scarlet cord, that scarlet rope, is a symbol of the way of salvation through the blood of the Lamb. It was a means of escape for the spies. It was the means of deliverance for Rahab and her family. And the blood of Jesus Christ alone will save your soul from damnation and judgment. Are you under the blood? Are you like the Israelite on the night of the Passover in Egypt? Is the blood sprinkled in obedience to God's command? Are you under the blood? That's all important. That's all important. And repeatedly throughout the Bible, by one picture after another, God presses this home upon us for safety only through the blood of Jesus. Rahab, make sure you tie the cord in your window, a symbol of your faith and your expectation. And as a result, Rahab and her family were the only ones that survived. And the next time we're with you, we'll see how well she survived. Rahab's in heaven today, at this moment. Rahab is in heaven, before the Lord, rejoicing. And everyone that goes to heaven will meet with her, have met with her, and with all the others. I think that's one of the most exciting things for the Christian to look forward to. If you're saved, one day you will see all those in the family who went before you, who were saved. You'll see all the great men and great women in this book who are mentioned. The mother of the Lord Jesus. You'll see her. You'll see Rahab. You'll see Ruth. You'll see Moses, Abraham, Jacob, Isaac. Oh, the list is endless, almost. And when you get to heaven, you'll see them. You'll get to see them and rejoice and speak with them and commune with them and fellowship with them and rejoice with them. That's the happy prospect. Ahab was taken out of her house into the ranks of Israel, and she shared in the joy of that day of victory. Oh, boys and girls, come to Christ if you're not saved. Soon another school year will end. School year in which you have sat under the gospel and you've heard the invitations and the urgings of teachers, speakers here. Maybe you're still not saved. God have mercy on you. Let's bow in prayer. Oh God, grant that there will be a tying of the cord to every one of the young ones here to the window of their life, indicating that they believe in Jesus and are safe from wrath to come. Bless the school today and on the trip it will take tomorrow. May it be a time of learning and a time of joy. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.